Okay, let's go down under now to Australia. There is a scientist who thinks one small solution to man-made climate change might be found in the stomach of the kangaroo. Independent producer Josh Kurz brings us this report.
It's a well-known fact that cows can lick their own nostrils. Another well-known fact is that they have a gas problem. Namely, methane, a greenhouse gas that's 21 times more bad than CO2.
Methane!
That's why, with all these cows producing methane, there's all these environmentalists producing hubbub.
Hubbub!
The big question is, can we go green and still eat beef and dairy products? Well, perhaps the answer is a definite maybe. But that depends on a furry Australian mammal that's famous for punching people out.
The eastern grey kangaroo and the red kangaroo?
That's Dr. Athol Cleavy, senior principal research scientist with the Queensland Department of Primary Industries and Fisheries. Dr. Cleavy's goal is to cure cows of their gas problems. That's why he studies animals that eat plants, herbivores. Lately, he's been looking at cows and kangaroos, two totally different animals that have one thing in common.
They're both furry.
Close. They're both herbivores. And it turns out that it doesn't matter if you are a cow or a kangaroo, if you like eating plants, you're not actually eating plants.
Herbivores basically are not able to break down and digest grasses themselves.
Instead, they pass the buck to a bunch of microbes. These microbes eat the plants, and then the animal eats the microbes. It's a little more complicated than that, but basically, here's how it works in a cow. Grass gets chewed up in the mouth. Then it travels down the esophagus into a chamber called the rumen.
The rumen! Come on, I'll show you around. It's like a hangout spot where microbes come to party.
And by party, they mean ferment grass.
It's all you can eat. Just multiply and start fermenting.
Then the microbes flush out of the rumen into the gastric stomach, and they're digested there. So really, the animal is getting all of its energy and protein requirements from the fermentation by all these microbes.
But there's a problem with all this partying, or fermenting.
During that process, you get hydrogen being formed. Now, if you don't remove the hydrogen from the fermentation, then the fermentation slows down.
Total dry.
Now, in sheep and cattle, the way of getting rid of that is to form methane.
Methane.
And so really, the formation of methane is actually a solution to a problem that the animal has, and that's how to get rid of the hydrogen.
Methane!
But it's not just cows that need to get rid of this hydrogen.
Now, the interesting thing is that not all herbivorous animals actually produce methane.
Enter the kangaroo. Kangaroos have a party chamber too, but it's called the foregut.
Welcome to the foregut.
Kangaroos have a different group of bacteria in their gut that instead of forming methane, they form acetic acid.
Acetic acid? You mean like vinegar?
Yeah, it's basically the same as vinegar.
This vinegar gets absorbed by the kangaroo and is used for energy. What Dr. Cleavy wants to do is take the microbes from the foregut in the kangaroo and transfer them into the rumen of the cow. Effectively replacing methane-making cow microbes with non-methane-making kangaroo microbes. The result is an eco-friendly, methaneless cow that uses microbes just like a kangaroo.
Oh.
And there's a bonus.
Sometimes when this comes up with farmers and you know, say, well, you know, why are we bothering? You say, well, you know, if I came to you and said, look, take 15% of your feed and burn it and throw it away, you'd reckon I was mad. But effectively, that's really what methane is. It's really a waste of feed energy. The feed energy is going up into the atmosphere instead of being able to be used by the animal.
If kangaroo microbes lived in cows, we'd not only solve their gas problem, but we'd also get more efficient cows, which means more beef and more milk with the same amount of feed.
And all you gotta do is take the bugs from the bouncy animal and stick them into the milky animal? This sounds like a piece of cake.
It's not gonna work just to try to take these bugs straight out of kangaroos and put them straight into cattle. Really, there's been very little done in this area previously. So we're really starting in a whole new area with a whole new set of bugs, and we need to understand them. So we're looking about probably about 3 years, I'd reckon.
Yeah, and that's just for a preliminary test. Then there's the challenge of developing an actual product. The investors, the regulatory committees, more tests, more research, and blah, blah, blah. How long do we have to wait before we can expect to see some gasless supercows?
Considerably longer.
For NPR News, I'm Josh Kurz.